Good morning, everybody, and as always, I welcome everyone to our Sunday morning shiur. Today's shiur will probably be a little bit shorter than it's been in the past. I have to make up for having gone way over time the last couple of weeks, so today hopefully we'll end a little bit early. There were many mitzvahs and many halachas that were found in yesterday's parsha. Parshas Mishpatim is a lengthy parsha, has a lot in it. It's very interesting to note that if one looks in the Sefer HaChinuch, where the mitzvahs are listed, so the Parshas Mishpatim is actually divided into two. In other words, the order of the parshas, the parshas that we have, has been established already for centuries. But there was a time in Spain where the Torah was divided into actually more parshas than we have now, and specifically this parsha, Parshas Mishpatim, was divided into two. The first half, which was read on a Shabbos, the first Shabbos was from the Elam Mishpatim, and the second half started from the pasuk that the second week, that is, they started from the pasuk Im Kesef Talves Es Ami, which is the topic of today's shiur. So it's interesting to note that once upon a time, at least amongst the Sfardim, this was considered the beginning of a separate parsha in the Torah. But the way we have it already for many generations, and even the Sfardim have it, is that we have Yisro, Mishpatim, and then Terumah. Anyway, the Torah tells us here at the beginning of the parsha, we have it on the sheet, on the beginning of the sheet, that is, it says, in Kesef Talve Es Ami Es Ha'ani Imach, if literally means, if you will lend money, es ami, to my people, Hashem says, es ha'ani imach, to the poor man who's with you, vosia lo kenosha, you should not treat him like he's a creditor. You should not treat him literally like the way the banks would treat a person who they lend money to, or the way the other credit institutions do. And lo sasimon alav neshech, you should not place a bite upon him. The word neshech literally means a bite, but this is a reference to the Isser of Ribbis, that you cannot charge interest for lending money. So, taken on the face value, the Torah is telling us that if you choose to lend money, so then you have to treat the person respectfully. The Chazal say, Losia lo kenosha, means that you shouldn't treat him as a creditor, meaning that if you know that he doesn't have the money, if the due date has arrived and you know he doesn't have the money, you should not go after him. You should not pressure him to pay back. You should not appear in front of him and give him dirty looks if you know he doesn't have the money. If he has the money and he's not paying you, that's something else. But if he does not have the money in that situation, so then you should not, Losia lo kenosha, don't treat him that way. Don't treat him like a strictly business relationship. There's a mitzvah here in the Torah that the person, that it would seem that a person who borrows money has to be treated specially. So if we skip down here on the sheet to the third sighting, the Sefer Avos Chesed, which was written by the Chafetz Chaim, one of the very, very beautiful Sfarim that the Chafetz Chaim wrote, which goes through a lot of different laws pertaining to various mitzvahs of Chesed. So the Chafetz Chaim quotes a Mechilta, a Medrash of Halacha, on this pasuk, which is actually brought in Rashi, and a very, very important, fact that he says here, mitzvah aseh min haTorah lulavos la'aniyei achenu, that it is a mitzvah in the Torah to lend money to poor people, to our brethren who need the loan. Shenemar im kesef talve es ami es ani imach, as it says in the pasuk that we just cited. So now, without going any further, anybody who sees this would have the question, where do you see that it's a mitzvah? The Torah says, im, the word im usually means if. If you lend money, so then you should not treat the person in a strong-armed way when it comes time to pay back. But it doesn't say in the pasuk that it is a mitzvah to lend it to him. It just says, if you do, so then don't charge him interest and don't go after him and so forth. Where do we get this from? So the Chafetz Chaim here quotes from the Mechilta, as I say, Yisuf Mechilta, Dechol Im Shebetara Rishus. So the Mechilta says that in the entire Chumash, any time we find the word Im The word is translated as if, okay? However, with three exceptions, Ushlosha mehen chova, three of them are, three times when the Torah says the word im, it really means an obligation. Okay? V'zeh echad mehen, this is one of the psukim. The raya, and the proof of this is, because we find later on in Parshas Re'eh, the Torah says, also speaking about a man who is in need of funds, the Torah says, v'have tavi tenu, derech tziva, that you should lend him money. That's what those words mean. Have tavi tenu, and the Torah says it as a command. So therefore, it comes out, says the Medrash, that the word, the pasuk here is not just telling you a story. It's not just saying that if you happen to lend money, this is what you should do. But rather, im kesef talva means when you lend money, meaning that you should lend money to a person who is in need. Okay, why? So what is the inyan of this mitzvah? So the Sefer HaChinuch, if we go back now one paragraph, so the Sefer HaChinuch tells us a very remarkable thing. He says that, in discussing this mitzvah, he says, lahalvos lo'oni kasagas hayad, kefi mashat tzarech lo, right? The mitzvah here is to lend a person who is in need to the degree that he needs it. Laman harchiv lo lahoko me'olav anchoso, in order to remove his anxiety. It's very stressful. A person doesn't have funds that he needs. It's very, very stressful for the person. So here's a mitzvah amongst the mitzvahs of chesed to do what you can to help him. So he says, u'michuyeves mi'mitzvahs nesinas hatzdokot. Okay, and he says a remarkable thing, which is also brought in the Rambam, that this mitzvah is actually greater than the mitzvah of giving tzedakah. It's a greater inyan to lend money to a person who needs rather than to give him a handout. Now, this is very surprising because you would think that giving tzedakah, you know, that is certainly greater because of the fact that you're not getting the money back. If you lend him the money, so he's going to pay you back. So why is it greater? So he says, Shemishin is galav and oda dachal ben bnei adam v'gil upon of lishol mehen. So he says, because a person who has to come on to tzedakah, a person who has to go for a handout, so everyone knows, he says, ein dachal v'afeloso, his difficulty, as hard as it is not the same, kemisha adayin lo bo lo osa busha v'yorei meikonispa. Because as bad as it is for a person to be in a matzav that he needs to come on to tzedakah, but nevertheless, once it's known, so unfortunately, it's already, whatever degree of discomfort, embarrassment that he feels, it happened already. Okay, so now, you know, everybody knows the story, and we go on from there. Whereas a person who needs a loan, so he has not yet, you see this person, and you think he's just like everybody else. It looks like he's doing okay, he's able to make ends meet. So there, this person, while this is happening, while everyone has that impression, this person has tremendous anxiety, has tremendous stress on the inside because he's petrified, he's worried that I'm not making it, and who knows, you know, one day I'm just going to collapse. My finances will collapse completely. I'm going to have to undergo this embarrassment, this busha that I have not yet had. So therefore, that in itself brings a tremendous stress to a person. So he says that im yielo ma'at sad shel halva b'mar sheyaviach ma'at. So on the other hand, if somebody will go and lend him money, so then ulai lo yitzdarech lavo l'sheilu l'olam. It could be that he'll never have to come on to this. In other words, he'll never have that embarrassment. He'll never have to come and ask people for handouts. And not only that, u'kasheirachamenu akel berevach. And when Hashem eventually gives him his needs, Yishalim Nashil V'Yichya Benosa, so he'll be able to pay back his loan, and nobody will, won't be any, there's no embarrassment. He was spared from the embarrassment of having to be known as a person who is in need. This person has the person who needs a loan is feeling tremendous stress and tremendous anxiety, and if we help him out, so then it's possible that he'll never come to that worst level. He'll never come to that. And this is what the Sefer HaChinuch says, other Rishonim and other Mefarshim say that on top of that also, there's the fact that, you know, it's always better for, let's say this fellow has a business, his business is struggling. His business is struggling, but if you could keep it going, he'll have a parnasa for the rest of, the indefinite future, maybe for the rest of his life. Whereas if it collapses, then he's done. So if you could help him keep his business going or whatever it is that he's doing, you know, it happens that people go through rough times. And therefore, you know, if we stand by and let him collapse, so then it'll be a disaster. Whereas if he could be helped out for whatever period of time it is, till he can overcome, till he could weather the storm, till he could overcome this difficulty, so then he'll be back to where he should be and everything will be beautiful. This is the way the Rishonim say it. And for this reason, it's really greater than the mitzvah of tzedakah. Okay, this is the great mitzvah that the Torah is telling us in this week's parsha in Kesef Tal Vesami, that a person should lend his money to whatever degree possible to a person who is needy, because of the fact that you could help him in such a way that you could be mechaya, you could restore him, A, before he has to endure great embarrassment, and B, potentially you could save him. That now he'll be able to get back up and running, and no one will ever know from it, and he'll pay it back. So in the long run, he won't even have any embarrassment, because what's the big deal? I have to borrow money, so I paid it back. So everything's good. So, yes?
You notice that this pasuk says, Kesef tel
yamecha. Yes.
And then there's a pause.
Yes.
And it says, ha'ani imo.
Yes.
Why are they both together?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Well, we'll see in the Gemara. Yeah, go ahead.
Money to somebody.
Yes.
You have to have a witness.
Okay.
Well, otherwise, they deny it, and they're a liar.
Okay.
Ha'ani imo.
Yes.
No witness. You cannot embarrass them.
Imach, you're saying with you, with
so
the person himself. Okay, okay, good shot, very good. Okay, so this we'll get soon to how you're supposed to lend the money, but okay, that is definitely, in other words, how you treat an ani is different than how you treat a person who's not ani, which we're going to get to right now. So if you look in the Avos Chesed, back in the paragraph that we had just read, okay, if you look a little bit further down, so he says, where there's the letter Dalet in the brackets, he says, U'mitzvah gam kein lavos la'osher l'fi shah. Says the Chafetz Chaim that this mitzvah does not only apply to a poor person. Even though the Torah uses the word ani, it doesn't mean necessarily a poor man, but rather it would also apply to a person who's generally speaking an osher, but right now he's having problems. He has no cash flow right now. Right now, things are going pretty well, but he's stuck. You know, like I recently had an interesting thing. I brought my car to the mechanic, and this fellow who I have a long-standing relationship with for many years, so I needed a considerable amount of repair. So he said to me, don't worry, I'll let you break up you could pay me in installments. So I thanked him. So he said, because right now, he said, I know, you're not poor, you're broke. In other words, there's a difference between a person who's poor and a person who's broke. A person who's poor means that he generally doesn't have money. Then you could have another person who he's all right, but the cash flow, you know, okay, to take a big hit, it's a big expense in one time, so the cash flow doesn't accommodate that. So therefore, the Chafetz Chaim says that this mitzvah that we find, by the way, I'm not saying that he was right about that. I'm just that was his assessment of the situation. I was happy to take him up on the offer, but whatever the case may be. So the point being that the Chafetz Chaim says that it's also a mitzvah to lend money to a wealthy person, l'fi shah, b'shah she'ein amos motzilo. The gemilus chesed noeg bein la'aniyim u'bein la'ashirim, because gemilus chesed applies to all people. And therefore, if the person, this fellow, is generally speaking, he's okay, but right now, it's hard, you know, he has bills to pay, he has payrolls to meet, whatever it is, and it's a problem. It's a problem, he doesn't have the funds, he doesn't have the cash flow. So says the Chafetz Chaim that it's the same mitzvah to lend money to this person, except he says that the elad ha'ani kodem lo bazeh, except for the fact that head-to-head, if a person is approached by a poor person and by a regular person who happens to have a shortage of cash right now, the kedima, as we'll see in the Gemara, the precedence is given to a poor person, because an ani always comes first. But the mitzvah would apply even to a person who, generally speaking, is okay and just has a problem with his cash. Yeah, let's take an order. Go ahead.
The order of giving the ani,
yes,
you know, first.
Yes.
makes sense, but nevertheless, in a bigger picture, someone who's an usher
right.
and they're short of cash, it's right. more embarrassing for them
right.
to turn around and ask for cash than someone.
Okay, that's true too. That's true. You know, that'd be the greater. But nevertheless, the ani, the Torah, we'll see in the Gemara that the Torah always gives the ani the precedence. That's it. Yes, Rabbi. Overloaning a person. Yeah. Yes. Right. I would assume so. I would think that it works that way. I think so. Now a question that would come up would be, what happens if a person comes for a loan not because he's poor and not because he's, let's say, wealthy, just to make it, you know, as opposed to poor, whatever, right? So not because he's an ani and not because he's an usher who has a problem with his cash flow, but rather he's an usher who wants to make an investment. Meaning, let's say you have a person who says, I have Baruch Hashem, I have money, I can pay all my bills, no problem. However, someone just told me that there's a tremendous opportunity. If you invest now, there's some development going on in a certain place, which is going to be very profitable. But you need $1 million to be in part of the investment. Okay, so now you come for a loan because I want the loan for my business, for the growth of my business. So to this, the poskim say, this is not included in this mitzvah. That already is not a chiv. You don't have to do that. Because after all, you could use the money for your own. You know, it's not deemed to be a great need. However, it would be still chesed. In other words, obviously that would be a gemilas chesed to do that for the person. But in turn, this is a chiyuv. What we're talking now is an obligation. A person has to do this. If you have money and someone comes to you for a loan, so it's a mitzvah in the Torah to lend it to him. It's a mitzvah to lend to him and to lend it to him interest free. Right, then I did not put it on the sheet, but the Sefer HaChinuch expounds upon this and says that in reality, all these acts of chesed that the Torah prescribes is because of the fact that ultimately when Hashem bestows bracha on people, so bracha is generally given to good people. In other words, if a person is a tov, if he's a good person, he has good heart, he's kind, so that person is more receptive to bracha. Hashem bestows bracha on those people quicker than he does to other people. And this is mentioned numerous times in the Sefer HaChinuch. And therefore we have many mitzvahs in the Torah pertaining to chesed. And this is one of them. So here, even though you'll say, well, I could get, you know, the truth is, so I could lend him with interest. What would be so bad? The whole issur of taking interest is a remarkable, we spoke about this once, is a remarkable thing. You're allowed to charge rent for everything else in the world except for your money. You cannot charge rent for money. You can charge rent for your house. You can rent someone your house and your car and your machinery, but you can't rent someone your money. Your money you have to lend. You cannot rent it. You can't charge money for that. Right? So the reason is because if a person is in need, this is a specific need. A person renting a house, he also has a need, but it's not the same. A person who needs funds is a person who's under a great deal of duress, and therefore there's a special mitzvah of chesed. Yes?
How about the circumstances when somebody asks you for a loan?
Yeah.
They're not enough. And you know that
you
don't have a loan. For other reasons, you know they're not
reliable. Okay, thank you.
That they're probably
fine. So if you know, the Chafetz Chaim says further, if you have reason to believe that the person is not going to pay you back, then you don't have to lend it to him. In other words, if you think that you lend it to him and he's dishonest, he's not going to pay you back, so then there's no chiv to lend it. However, if he's the person who will pay it back, but, you know, it may take a while. It may take a while. Not everyone's needs go away so quickly. So he says later, and really I'm just trying to give an overview. There are seven or eight prakim here in the Avos Chesed. He goes through all the dinim. I'm just trying to go over the major ones, right? That generally speaking, a loan is for 30 days, unless it's prescribed otherwise. And, you know, but that's up to each person to see how, you know, sometimes like I say, I could lend you the money, but I need it back. And the funds are only available for X amount of time. And if he can't guarantee you that he'll get it back to you by that time, you don't have to lend it to him. But if you have a situation where you don't necessarily need it back by that time, and he's hoping he'll be able to pay it back, but when the time comes, he's not able to. So there, the Torah says, That's what we had in the pasuk at the beginning. We'll see a little kenosha that, okay, what could you do? He said, it didn't work out. It's not easy. Not easy to do it. If you think he's dishonest, or if you think he has the money and he's not paying you, that's something else. That's something else. Then you don't have to lend it to him. And if you did lend it to him and you think he's planning making shtick, then you can take him to Beis Din and say, you have to pay me back. Right? And for this reason, it was mentioned that a person should lend money always if where possible. A person should, where it's not going to cause embarrassment in the presence of a witness, okay, or at the very least with a shtar. It should be written down on paper because people forget. People forget. Sometimes it happens. The person borrows money and time passes and he forgot about it. You know, and then he, you know, when he's confronted, he denies it and it creates a whole animosity. So the easiest thing and the simplest system is write it down, even if it's even not such a large loan. You know, write it down on a piece of paper and this way you have it. And, you know, when the person pays back, you return the shtar to him, and that way it's all taken care of. Okay, another halacha in this area is that a person who lends money does, me'ikra didn't have the right to ask for a collateral. You could ask the person for a mashkun. You could say, all right, I'll lend you the money, but I'd like something, you know, I want some security, which, you know, sometimes is easier for the person to do, sometimes not. You have the right, a person has the right to say, I will only lend it to you if you give me a collateral. That would be generally if a person who you suspect is not going to be so simple to get it back from him. Okay, now what about a case where you lend money to a person and he says, I could pay it back, but I can't pay it back in one shot. In other words, I want to borrow $10,000. I'll pay it to you $1,000 at a time. So here, the Chafetz Chaim says that you're also not obligated to lend it on those terms because of the fact that getting money back in that manner doesn't add up. You know, you get it back, it gets lost. You're lending him a substantial amount of money and you're getting it back a little bit at a time. Now, if you agree to this, so then fine. That's a beautiful thing. A lot of times, a substantial loan is very hard for a person to pay back in one shot. So if a person agrees to it, that's fine. But if the lender says if the borrower says that I will not be able to pay it all back at one time, then you have the right to say, I can't afford that. That's not something that works for me. I'll lend you less and pay it back on time, whatever. But I cannot do it this way. Sorry, question? No, okay. So, all right, so, yeah. Yes. The Torah speaks about, there are a lot of dinim. I don't want to, I'm saying, that one could read through the Avos Chesed at length about, there's a whole section that deals with collateral, but, you know, there are various halachas there, you know, but you have the right to do that. In other words, the person who's lending money doesn't have to lend it in such a manner that he really thinks it's going to cause him a loss, because that would be a different, that's tzedakah. Whereas you want to give money to somebody you don't think is going to pay it back, so that's tzedakah. So that means, yeah, listen, if I get it back, it's good, and if not, so it's okay. So the person is needy, so let it be tzedakah. But if it's a regular type of loan, and you don't think you're going to get it back, or you think it's going to be paid back with great difficulty, so then you have to. There are times that a person might have the right to say, I don't want to do this. Okay, now if we look at the bottom, yes, Robert. Yeah.
You can afford to give it to him as tzedakah.
Yeah.
Better to give it to him as a loan?
It's still better to give it as a loan if he didn't ask for the tzedakah, because you have to size up the situation. You have to size up the situation. In other words, generally speaking, it's more embarrassing. We, you know, the world has changed today where the world of entitlements, where, you know, the government hands out money, everybody gets all kinds of things. So the attitudes have changed, but we dive in every single time we dive, we pray, we say the Birchas HaMazon, right? V'lonal tatzricheinu Hashem Elokeinu lo'idei matnas basar v'dam, right? V'lo'idei avasam. We say that please don't let us come on to matanas, you know, gifts from people and not to their loans. So the first thing you say is gifts. You know, now today, most people would have a hard time with that. They would say, all right, the loans, I understand. God, please don't make me have to take a loan. But that someone's going to give me the money as a handout, I have no problem. Right, but the attitude in Yashrus is that's not right. The person's supposed to, it's embarrassing for a person to be in that situation. It happens sometimes. It happens. I'm not saying a person needs it so they need it, and that's part of life. And like the Gemara says, the famous Gemara to Rabbi Akiva, that you know that he was asked by the Roman authority. They asked him that if God loves all people, why does He make people poor? Why does He make them poor? He should give them money too. So he said, so Rabbi Akiva answered him, the reason is because he wants to give a privilege to those who have the money to fulfill a mitzvah by giving it to those who don't. So that, in other words, the attitude of tzedakah is supposed to be, you're not supposed to look down at the person, it's all b'yad Hashem anyway. Nobody can control those things. Right? Even some of the greatest people in the history of the Klal Yisrael, right? The famous statement of Ibn Ezra, one of the Rishonim, wrote a commentary on the Chumash, that he was in business after business that failed miserably. And finally, in frustration, he wrote that he believes that if he would go into the candle business, Hashem would make it that the sun would never set again, that the sun would never go down. And he said that if he went into the tachrichin business, if he went into the business of making shrouds, nobody would die anymore. Right? That's how bad his business was. Whatever he tried didn't work. Right? Everything ended up in a disaster. Now, if anyone reads his commentary on the Chumash, you see he's a very brilliant person, and obviously must have been capable. But it happens. What could you do? So therefore, you can't look down at such a person, but it's definitely not pleasant for the person himself to have to come on to that, so it's better to lend him money. Okay, now we have, if you look at the bottom of the sheet on the first side, so the Chofetz Chaim says further, a very interesting thing. Ein shir l'mitzvahs gemilas chesed. There is no shir. There is no limit for this. Afilu ad mea pamim. Even if a person keeps coming back to you, you know, you lent the money, paid it back. A short time later, he comes to you again, and he pays it back again, and he keeps coming to you. And after a while, you get annoyed. You know, what's going on over here? You know, I keep lending you money. It's enough already. So the Chafetz Chaim says, no, that's not true, that we find when it comes to Gemilas Chesed that you have to do even 100 times, even 100 times in the same day if necessary. And then he says a very interesting thing. He says, Lo yera levav olachshav, that a person should not have the ill heart to think, Kama matriach alai ha'isha zeh, what a pain in the neck this guy is. Every time he comes to me, I have to lend him the money. I have to, you know, it's a nuisance, and then I have to collect it, which is a further nuisance. He says, the Chofetz Chaim says, Kamo she'enu koes al mishu dofek tamid al pisrei chanuso, witing lo revach. He says, you don't get angry if you have a store. You don't get angry if the same customer comes to you 100 times in one day. Right? If the guy comes in the morning and makes a purchase, and then he comes back and I was, oh, I forgot something. And he buys again. And then he comes in the afternoon and says, you know, I got home. My wife said, you forgot to get these other things. Right? So you would be besimcha. Right? You'd be delighted. I come this man. Keep forgetting. No problem. I'll be home. I'll even stay open late. Give me a call 24 hours a day when I'll be there for you. Right? So the same way that a person feels that about a person who's helping his business, so this is a mitzvah. This is a mitzvah. So therefore, he comes to you 100 times. What can you do? So good. You have a schus. You have a schus that you can 100 times help the person. That's a tremendous thing. You can help him out. So you should not look at the person in that manner like he is a nuisance. Okay? So this is a very, very remarkable mitzvah, a very, very remarkable attitude that a person is supposed to have. Now, there's further, one other interesting halacha before I get into something which might be a little more controversial, and that is that the question comes up, what happens if several people approach you and one person asks you for a large loan, and if you lend him that money, so that's going to pretty much consume all of your available funds. Whereas you also have 10 other people who have asked you for smaller loans. So you could, if you deny the large loan, you could accommodate the smaller loans, 10 of them, let's say, right? But on the other hand, this fellow needs a lot of money, and, you know, so maybe you should give him that. So the Chofetz Chaim says that, it's not on the sheet, but he says it's better, if possible, to lend the money to 10 people, because each time you do is a mitzvah. It's a separate mitzvah each time. Okay, so kol echad ve'echad u'mekayim mitzvah saseh b'fnei atzma. Okay, so therefore, from the standpoint of the lender, right, if you want to maximize, you know, when it comes to mitzvahs, you know, a person has the right to be a businessman also. In other words, I want to try to maximize my mitzvahs. Same way I want to maximize my profits. So therefore, I have, okay, if you know, I have a gemach. Let's say I have allocated a certain amount of money that I'm going to lend it out. Okay, so, but, you know, someone comes and asks me for a loan. It's going to take all the money. It's going to go, going to be out. Whereas this way, I could lend smaller loans to many people. It's better to lend more money to more people because of the fact that that way you mekayem a mitzvah each time. Obviously, there's certain discretion involved, and, you know, there could be other factors, but, you know, all things being equal, that is the case. Okay. Now, the question is, how far do we go with this? So, do we say, therefore, that a person, you know, should never have money in the bank, or should never invest his cash in any sort of CD or something like that? You know, I should always be lending out the money to my fellow man. Okay, so we have here several Gemaras. We have here several Gemaras which are worth going through. The first one is, if you turn over the sheet, on the it's actually the last thing on the page. This is a Gemara in Bava Metzia that the Gemara speaks about. The Gemara here is talking about the mitzvah of Ashavas Aveda, the mitzvah of returning an item, a different chesed, returning a lost item to a person. So the question comes up that what happens if in the process of returning this lost item, you're going to lose time from your business? In other words, I found something which I know belongs to somebody, but if I have to return it to him, so I'm going to have to take off hours from my job to get it back to him. Let's just say that that's the case, and it's going to be a loss. And the loss is even greater than the thing that I found. In other words, I found this watch. Okay, so it's a nice watch, not a Rolex watch. I found a $150 watch. But for whatever reason, the circumstances are that if I attempt to give it back to him, it's going to cost me $300 of my work because I'm going to have to take several hours off from work. So do I have to give it back in that case? So the Gemara says, I apologize for the small print. So the Gemara says, on the second to last line, the Gemara says, El shalom merubah mishel chavera mirab Yehuda merav nafka. To Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, because Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Efes ki lo yeh b'cha evyon. The Torah in Parshas Re'eh, in Sefer Devarim, so when the Torah speaks about the mitzvah of tzedakah, the Torah says that the point of the mitzvah of tzedakah, Efes ki lo yeh b'cha evyon, that there should not be a poor person in your midst. There should not be poor people. You should do what you can to help them. So the Chazal picked up on the word b'cha, that there should not be poor people in your midst, that the nuance in that pasuk is suggesting that you come, there shouldn't be poor people in your midst, meaning that the first thing is that you shouldn't be poor. And then you worry about others. So therefore, the Gemara says, shelcha kodem u'shel kol adam, that when it comes to a person's parnasa versus someone else's, I have the right to put myself first. Right, even though we have in the Torah the great mitzvah of Ahavta Re'acha Kamocha, which would say that you have to treat everyone the same, and therefore who says that I come before him? Why do I come before him? He's just as much as me. So here we have a specific pasuk that says, Efes ki lo yeh b'cha evyon, that there should not be a poor person in your midst. You come first. You come first. And therefore, if your bitul melacha, if your loss of work is going to mean that that this person, you won't be able to return the lost item to this person, so be it, because it's going to, in the efforts that you need to expend to return the item to him, you're going to suffer a greater loss. So therefore, that's okay. You don't have to do it. Now, the implication of that has to be understood in terms of this mitzvah. Okay, because now you'll say like this. You'll say, so 1 minute. So you're telling me that I come before everyone else. If I come before everyone else and I have the opportunity to lend out my money with interest, how do I have that opportunity? So first of all, I can lend it to a goy, right? I can lend it to a non-Jew where there's no iser of ribbis. According to some Rishonim, even a mitzvah, anach risashich. It's a question in the Gemara. But certainly there is no prohibition of lending money to a non-Jew with interest. So I'll say like this, why should I lend him the money? I'll put it in the bank. The bank pays, not much, right? Yeah, right? Not much, but the bank pays some degree of interest, but then you could have another situation. You could have a situation where a non-Jew approaches you and he's ready to pay interest. and he's ready to pay interest. Or you could even have a situation where a Jew approaches you with a heter iska, where he comes and says, you know, listen, I need the money. Baruch Hashem, I do okay. Right now I have a shortage, but there are ways to do it. You know, there are ways. I'll get a heter iska. We could write up, arrange the deal in such a way that you could even charge me interest. Right? So it would seem that based on this Gemara, that you have the right to say, well, look, I come before this guy who needs the loan, so I am losing money. I am losing money by lending it to him. What does it mean, losing money? I'm not losing money that I already have. However, this is what's called menias revach. In other words, I'm being held back from a potential gain. I could get more than I have already if I would lend it out with interest. Okay, so from this Gemara, it would seem that maybe you don't have to do it. So now we look at the Gemara that's on top of it, which is Gemara in Bava Metzia also, but it's later on. And the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, it's four lines down, the Tani, I heard the Tani Reb Yosef, Im Kesef Talva Es Ami Es Ha'ani Imach. Okay, the Pasuk that we're discussing here, that we started off the shir, says, if you lend Kesef Es Ami. Now you recall that when we spoke about, last week, when we spoke about the different situations of Kibud Av V'Aim, right, so we noted that the Torah says, Kabed Es Avicha Ves Imecha. The word Es is considered extra. It could have just said, Kabed Avicha V'Imecha. So from this, the Chazal derive that you have to honor not just your father, but even your stepfather, your mother's wife, the mother's husband. And you have to honor your mother and also your father's wife. So here too, the Chazal picked up on the word Es in the Pasuk. It could have just said, Im Kesef Talva Ami. Right, so why does it say Es Ami? Says the Gemara for the following thing. Says the Gemara, Ami v'nochri, Ami kodem. When the Pasuk says, in Kesef Talva Es Ami, if you lend money to a member of my nation, God says, so what the Pasuk is teaching us is that head to head, if a Jew and a non-Jew both come for a loan, you should give the money, you should loan the money to a Jew, not to the non-Jew. Okay, then the Pasuk continues, Esa Ani. So from this, the Gemara derives that Ani Kodem, the Esa Ani Imach, so it means Ani Va'asher, Ani Kodem, that there's a certain priority, that if a poor man comes together with a wealthy man, and they both need funds, you should give it to the poor man first, as we mentioned. And then the Gemara proceeds to say other things which are important to know. Ani Eircha, if you have people from your city versus Aniye Ir Acheres, a poor man from your city comes together with a poor man from a different city. So the halacha is that the people in your city take precedence. Aniye Ircha Kodman. Okay, that's the Gemara. Fine. Now what does that have to do with this? So the Gemara proceeds to say, Amar Mar, says the Gemara, we just got finished saying that Ami V'Nochri Ami Kodem, that if you have a Jew and a non-Jew who both come from a loan, for a loan at the same time, you should lend the money to a Jew. So ask the Gemara Pshita. Of course that's true. Why is that? For this we need a special pasuk? Obviously, everyone knows there's a greater inyan to help out a Jew. We are all brethren, right? And therefore you help out your people first. So what's the chiddush in this pasuk? What is the pasuk suggesting here when it says that from the special drasha that tells me that a Jew comes before a non-Jew? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Li Huna. Rav Nachman's quoted over that he heard from Rav Huna. Lo nitzricha da afilu l'nachri beribis u'yisrael b'chinam. That with the chiddush of the pasuk, when the Torah is telling you that a Jew comes before a non-Jew, that means that it's better to loan a Jew money interest-free than to loan a non-Jew money who's willing to pay interest. That's what the chiddush of the pasuk is. Okay, now, it presents almost a contradiction. The chiyuv. In other words, what I mean when I say it's better is that the correct thing to do is to lend the money to the poor man as opposed to the person, the guy, lend it to the Jew as opposed to the guy, even if the guy is willing to pay you interest. Right? So now, this obviously has to be understood. How could this be? How could this be? You're telling me on the one hand that a person has the right to say that my bittul malacha right, comes before. I don't have to return an aveda. I don't have to return a lost item in a situation where it's going to cost me a loss of income greater than the value of the aveda. Okay, and yet here you're telling me that you have the right to put yourself, that you cannot put yourself first, that you have to lend the money to the Yisrael without ribbis before you lend the money to the guy with ribbis, right? So how does that play out?
Are we talking about someone who makes their living from lending?
Okay, that's what I'm going to get to right now. So the answer to this is as follows. So there's certain, now exactly how this, you know, there's a great deal of discussion amongst the Mefarshim of the Gemara and Bar Matzia, Pnei Yeshua, and others get involved in a lot of these points. But just to try to keep it simple, al pi halacha, the basic rule is like this. If a person, if his business is, if his parnasa is lending money beribis, like for example, he's a banker. Right, a fellow Jewish guy owns a bank, so he wouldn't have any parnasa if that's what he does for a living. So where does he make his money? How does he make his livelihood? By lending money with interest. So now you tell him, well, it's a mitzvah to lend money to Jews. Now if the word gets out, right, that this Jew owns the bank, he'll have a line from here to Missouri, right, of Jews waiting for loans, and he will have no parnasa. He'll have no parnasa because whatever money he has in the bank is going to be all consumed by all the Jews who came to him for loans. So in the Avos Chesed, in the fifth parak, it's not on the sheet, the Chofetz Chaim says, "In ika parnasasa hu ayidei halvos knani beribis." If his main parnasa, meaning that's what he does, he lends money. Okay, that, however, whatever type of business that is. So then we have a din chayecha kodman. Then we have a din that a person's parnasa comes before the next guy's parnasa. This is what I do for my livelihood. This is what I do for my livelihood. There's no question in that situation that you're allowed to lend it to the guy. Because this is not, this is, I, if I don't do this, I won't have anything. Right? So even I have funds. I have quite a bit of funds. I have a lot. I have enough to open a bank. But nevertheless, the whole point is that this is what I do for Parnassa. Then there's no chiyuv to lend it to a Jew. However, what happens if it's not my Parnassa? But I have the opportunity to make an investment. You know, I have some money to lend. I have, let's say, $10,000 to lend. And this guy comes to me and he says, I'll pay you, you know, it's very hard to, credit's very tough today, so I'm willing to pay you a lot, you know. I'll give you a very good rate of interest if you lend me the money. So it would be a considerable loss if you don't lend it to him. On the other hand, it's not your parnasa. So if it's not your parnasa, I happen to be, let's say, a lawyer. Okay, so that's not my parnasa, but I happen to have some funds and I have a side opportunity that came my way. So what do you do in that situation? So if you look at the top of the sheet, the Chofetz Chaim brings down two opinions. He says, "V'dat de b'din zesha marnu diyaktim li Yisrael b'china meknani beribis nechluku hagedolim b'zeh." Here there's a big argument. Yesh omrim, there are those who say, "Da'afilu im yalve leknani yeh harevach meruba." That even if I will have a great profit by lending the money to the non-Jew, gam kein hitzricha tara lahalvos li Yisrael b'chinam, I still have to lend the money to the Jew for free. Amazing. In other words, I have to, because this is not my parnasa. Again, if it's your parnasa, no question. But it's not my parnasa, it's a side opportunity. So then, according to the first opinion, this is found interesting as we get close to Purim, there's a commentary on the Sefer Mitzvot Rambam that's called Megillas Esther. That's what it's called. It's not to be confused with the Sefer that we're going to read on Purim. But in the Megillas Esther, he says this chiddush, that this mitzvah implies even if you're going to pass up a big profit by lending it to a guy. How do you know that? And how does it go with the other Gemara that we read that you don't have to return the Aveda? So the Megillas Esther says, because otherwise, what he says, that's what the Gemara's chiddush was when the Gemara said that you have to lend to a Jew without interest before you lend to a non-Jew with interest. So says the Megillas Esther, if he was paying you very minimal interest, so that also wouldn't be a chiddush. That also not, so well, he'll give you a few dollars more, so for a few dollars more you're going to pass up a mitzvah. That the Gemara doesn't need to tell you. Right? When the Gemara says that we Yisroel b'chinam as opposed to Nachri b'ribis, it means even a major loss, even if it's a big loss, I have to give it to the Jew. However, that's the first opinion. However, the second opinion, which is found in Sefer Shara Mishpat, one of the great achronim with the commentary on the Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat, that he says that, and by the way, according to the first opinion, as far you'll say, so what's with the Gemara in Bava Metzia that says that by Hashavas Aveda you don't have to return it if it's going to prevent you from an income? So I believe his answer to that is that, okay, that's true by Hashavas Aveda, but here it's Gzeiras HaKozel. When it comes to lending money even supersedes returning someone's Aveda. Because something that a person lost, obviously he wants to get it back, and it's an important thing. But as we said at the outset, lending someone money to prevent him from embarrassment and possibly from financial collapse, that's a mitzvah gedola. That's a great, great thing. And for that, you even have to pass it up. So what the Gemara says by Shavas Aveda would not be applicable here. However, the second opinion, the Chavetz Chaim says, he brings here that V'yesh Omrim, if you go back to the top, he says that there are those who say, three lines before the end of that paragraph, the dafka hechash harevach hu mu'ut, that it's only if the profit is small, avalam harevach hu meruba, ainu mechuyev bezeh, but if it's a big profit, you're not mechuyev to pass it up. This is found in the Sefer Shaar Mishpat, and he is of the opinion that really the two gemaras, the Gemara from Hashavas Aveda, would be applicable over here as far as how you answer what the chiddush is in the first Gemara, so he has a different explanation for that. But he is of the opinion that if it's a big profit that could be made, you don't have to lend it. So it's uncle the Avos Chesed is not Machria. He does not really come to a decisive clear cut decision here. A little bit he says, Chei Mashmik Sas Mitshuvas Ramah. He cites from the Tshuvas Ramah, which would be obviously the Ramah, very authoritative opinion. So it sounds like there's certainly what to rely on in such a case. A person might be comfortable consulting with their Rav to ask them, you know, what they think in such a situation. But certainly, if it's just a quite today where the banks, you know, the regular, you know, the interest that you get for having an account in a bank is so minimal, and a person comes and asks for a loan where it's a great, great mitzvah, so then it's really something to consider. In other words, the idea is it's a great mitzvah, so it's a different type of investment. Now, it's a different type of investment. So here I'll get a few dollars, and here I'll get a great schus, because the thing about this mitzvah is that you'll never know just how much you did for the person. Because you lend them the money and life goes on, but you don't see the other picture. You don't see the video of what would be if you didn't lend them the money. You don't see the possible calamity that would have come to this person. That we don't see. So therefore, you know, that has an impact. You know, when it comes to tzedakah, you see the person and their suffering, so it warms everyone's heart. But when it comes to a loan, somehow we don't see that. So hopefully, you know, there should be a greater appreciation for this mitzvah. It's the type of thing that if, in fact, a person is able to do it, it's considered a mitzvah gedola, and as we said at the outset, it's considered even greater in certain ways than the mitzvah of tzedakah. And, you know, to whatever degree a person can, you know, the attitude should be that this is a tremendous opportunity because I could potentially be saving a person from major embarrassment. If I can keep him going, I can keep him on his feet, just get through these rough times, so then he'll be able to live an honorable life without any embarrassment. On the other hand, if I let him slide, so then it'll be a different situation. So this is the mitzvah of Imkesef Talves Ami, and hopefully we could have a heightened awareness of this very important thing.